From Beijing to Berlin, from Singapore to South Carolina, from Cape Town to Canada, the world turns on business and commerce. And where there is such industry, disagreements are bound to happen. Sometimes these disagreements are resolved. For the rest of the time, they end up in the capable hands of professionals around the world. The dynamic and interesting stories of these individuals is what you will hear on this show, Tales of the Tribunal.
Welcome back to Tales of the Tribunal with Chris Campbell. I am your host, Chris Campbell, here to tell you another tale, another story from the wide, wide world of international dispute resolution. So, as I mentioned the last week, we are now in our final three episodes of this season. I know, it's hard to believe. We are already careening, speeding towards the conclusion of season one. But I hope this has been a fun and enjoyable ride for you thus far, and we have some more twists and turns before we get to the end. So, before we get to this week's guest, I do want to share with you, once again, as we talked about for the past several weeks, an awesome, epic event that I've been to in Atlanta. The Atlas Annual Conference is going to be September 8th through the 10th. They partnered with the Global Arbitration Review once again, and aside from the great programming that they have, the keynote speakers, the Tertulia host, and the topic of multiple perspectives in international arbitration, they are also going to have a Global Arbitration Review event there on site. That was a fun event last time that I went last year, and it was fun, witty, and a great perspective on international arbitration. So sign up on the Atlas website or find their recruiting information there in the city of Atlanta. So let's get into today's guest. Now, today's interview is a special interview, not just because of the guest, but because it is the first interview that we did by phone. I try to do these interviews in person. Sometimes you got to make do with what you've got, and that this time that included having to use the telephone. So this week's guest is a member of the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators, is a member and a registrant on the list of arbitrators for the OJADA panel of arbitrators at the CCJA, as well as the Kigali International Arbitration Center. He is fluent in four languages while I'm trying to master just this one, apparently, just English today. Is a Fulbright scholar and ran her own law firm operating in Paris and Tampa, and now works as of counsel with Aziz Bamba Law and Associates in Ghana. I'm talking about Ms. Rose Ramal. She is a fantastic practitioner. She and I met during the Vis Moot in Vienna. This is, technically the final interview that I did concerning the Vis Moot, or with someone that I met at the Vis Moot. But she had all sorts of fantastic nuggets of wisdom to share about how to break into the world of international arbitration, how to do so in a non-traditional means. And I think she has a lot of wisdom that will be immediately applicable to those looking for a route into international arbitration. So sit back, relax, get into a comfortable position, and enjoy this week's episode. And we will come back with some footnotes and final programming things at the end of the show. See you on the other side. Welcome back to Tales of the Tribunal with Chris Campbell. I'm your host, Chris Campbell, here to tell you another tale, another story from the wide, wide world of international dispute resolution. With me today, I have a practitioner from across the pond. I'm still here in the United States for just a little bit longer, but I have a guest who is joining us remotely from Paris, France, where she has practiced in Europe and also in the United States in a myriad of number of international dispute resolution things, including the continent of Africa and a number of different industries. I'm talking, of course, of Ms. Rose Ramal. Rose, did I get that right?
That's correct.
All right, well, Rose, welcome to the show. And as we do on every episode, you know, we want to know a little bit about you, you know, who you are, where you did your legal studies, how did you get to where you are today, where you're practicing. You know, I've already told the folks that you practice overseas in Europe, but we want to know more about you. So tell us a little bit about your schooling, how you got into the world of arbitration, and where you are now.
Okay, well, Chris, first, thank you so much for having me on the show. I am Haitian American, born and raised in Haiti, and I came to the United States when I was about 16 years old. I finished high school in the U.S., and then I attended first Binghamton University for my bachelor's degree, and I majored in French and Spanish. And I've studied abroad in Spain, and later on went for a master's degree at Middlebury College, and studied in France while I was at Middlebury, and had a master's in French civilization. And then this was at the time where I decided maybe law would be a good path for me. I went back to the United States, telling my parents I wanted to study law. And of course, they were not initially, I would say my father was not really into law, because everyone, most people in the family were doing doctor or nursing. So he just didn't want me to follow that. Then I studied, took my LSAT, and I was accepted at Syracuse University College of Law. I attended Syracuse, and then I decided to have two degrees from Syracuse as opposed to one. I also got a master's in international relations from Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs. And while at Syracuse, this is when arbitration became an interest for me, because everyone in my school, they were doing moot court, and Syracuse was very good at sending students for different competition, regional and national, and we were always getting the trophies. However, with me, I did not want to do moot court, and also since I had a baby while I was in law school, the best thing for me to do was to do the Vismut court. So I'm glad that I did. That's how I started to discover more about arbitration, and I got to go to Vienna and argue my very first commercial cases based on the antitrust rules. And from there, I after I graduated, I was expecting to continue doing arbitration. However, I couldn't get a job with a firm in the U.S. that had that kind of practice. I ended up doing first administrative law for public interest, and then later on criminal law for a number of years. The breaking point for me in arbitration was in 2010, after my divorce, when I decided, okay, now that I have nothing that could be holding me back, it's time to go back to basic and be happy and do what I love the most, which was international law and arbitration. So for that, I decided to move back to Paris with my daughter, and I decided to attend Paris 2, which was, and get a master's degree in LLM in French, European, and international business law. And from there, I decided, okay, maybe I should open my practice here in Paris and start getting into arbitration. And I soon realized that it was a very close niche, and I said, okay, then I have to also prepare myself, and I went to Switzerland at University of Neuchâtel in Lucerne, as well as the Swiss Arbitration Academy, and then I get an added degree, and I've been practicing since then. So who I am, Haitian American, practicing abroad, mainly in Africa now, and also Europe, and back in the U.S.
Wow. Okay, well, that is quite the journey. And so I wonder, you know, with all the things that you have in a professional capacity and a working capacity, are you involved with, do you have time for any extracurriculars outside of those things that are related to the industry? Is that with, like, you mentioned the Vismut or, some of the, I guess, the more social professional organizations like through the LCI, through some of the divorce various organizations around the world? IBA or ABA or anything like that?
Oh, actually, for many years, I was the vice chair of the Africa Committee for the American Bar Association.
Oh, wow.
So I used to do a lot of traveling for all the spring meetings, the fall meeting. I kind of slow down now because I have to do other things. But I'm also a member of IBA. I'm very busy. Like, for instance, just a few weeks ago, I was in Vienna on behalf of Arbitral Women at the Unsitual 52 session. And oh, wow. I just got an invitation to go to Guinea-Conakry for the the third intersessional regional meeting on investor state settlement reform. That's going to be from the 25th to the 26th September. And also my home country, Haiti, just sent me a formal invitation for a biannual colloquium that they are going to have in conjunction with Dominican Republic. So, I mean, I can barely sit in Paris, if you know what I mean. I am always getting something. I am here in Paris, but I barely sit here in Paris.
No, I understand.
If I look at my travel calendar, I'm always somewhere. Yeah.
So do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy being able to travel to all these different types of things, or would you rather be able to stay in the streets of Paris?
I think I would be bored if I just if I just sit there and don't do that. I can't be everywhere. But I pick a few things that I do, like the investor state dispute reform. That's very important in my practice because that's what I do. The Haiti invitation, I cannot say no to my country. And I'm also the ICC, a court member on behalf of Haiti. So I have a duty and responsibility towards my people. So
sure.
That's how I pick and choose where I go. And then there was another one I have to go to, is the British Virgin Island, because the Caribbean is of great importance. So I see my practice in Africa, the Caribbean, you know, and U.S., and a little bit in Europe. But I'm here in Paris because it's convenient. I feel I'm right in the middle. In 7 hours I'm in Atlanta, 6.5 hours I could be in Ghana. So it's convenient. It's the middle ground.
Sure. No, and it sounds like you have a busy end of 2019 and start of 2020 already kind of lined up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's shift from that just a little bit, if we may, Rose. So across your career, and you've done, you know, many things and a number of quite interesting things, in developing that career, or as you've gone along it, who have been some of the role models or mentors you've had, or maybe what have some of the guiding influences been?
For arbitration, I'm afraid I have to say zero.
Zero. Okay. Well,
yes. For my career, you know, in becoming a lawyer, I have to say that Anita Vogley, who is one of my former professors, and also Professor Janice McDonald. So I have it's mainly people that I met when I was studying law, and they saw something in me that I didn't see. Oftentimes, and telling me, oh, like Anita Vogley was the professor who told me that, hey, Rose, I think you are brilliant in languages, and I think you should go and study in Spain, and I will have to bet that you will come back fluent in Spanish. And I looked at her, and I said, are you serious? She said, yes. And I said, how can you prove that? She said, well, how about you come and audit my class? And I said, okay, that means you're not going to grade me. She says, no. And it was summer, and I was basically not doing much. And I said, okay, deal. So I took her course, and I audited it. And after I was done, and she says, guess what? And I said, what? Would you like to see your grade? I said, wait a minute. Professor Vogley, you said you were not going to grade me. She says, no, just for fun, I'm not going to turn it in. And then she says, you got an A-minus in my class. I said, no way. She says, yes way, I'm telling you. And then she said, well, I have this paper here if you like to sign it, and I'd like to send your name for a scholarship for you to study in Spain. And I said, I can't believe my ears. I said, no. She says, yes, I think you're going to come back fluent. And I said, and how long is that going to be? I said, she says, well, give me 2 semesters. You'll come back fluent. I said, no. So I did, and I came back fluent. And I think that changed my life. Anita Vogley has to be right there as one of my mentors. And she retires now in her 70s, 80s. We talked from time to time. And she followed me, and she says, I know I'm right. I know I was always right about you. So she's, yeah. And then I have Professor J.
No, please continue.
Yeah, I have Professor Janice McDonald. By then, I am in law school. And as you know, in law school is very competitive. And I felt like, okay, what am I going to do? I wanted to give up, and I met Janice. She says, are you kidding me? You are brilliant. I said, oh, really? She says, yeah, you already know international law. And that was because of my study abroad in France and also in Spain before law school. And she says, you know, when I ask certain questions, you always bring a different perspective, and it's right. And I said, okay. She says, you just need to continue. And then she convinced me to do an internship in Zimbabwe. And I did that. And it was amazing to see how I really, you know, I discovered things that I really didn't think that I could do. And I think sometimes you need to have this mentor, this other person who sees more things in you than you could see in yourself sometimes. And if you can come to understanding that this person wants to push you, it could be a great benefit. The other person I would say who has done that for me is my mother. I mean, she's expected to do that because she's a parent, you know.
Sure.
But for arbitration, Chris, basically arbitration, it came to me when, after I was doing criminal law for 5-6 years, and I was very unhappy defending criminals, and I said, okay, Rose, what are you supposed to be doing? And I said, okay, I did the Vismut Court. That was way before I started to practice law. I love international law. I love to travel. Let's go back to basic. And I returned back to Paris, and I've been doing it and diving it into just by myself and investing. I've been meeting a lot of people and a lot of contacts, and you know, I've done this, you know, alone.
Well, right. And so, and you've kind of answered this already to some extent, but I guess for new practitioners or practitioners looking to break into a field, do you think it's important to try and find a mentor or find someone to kind of sponsor their journey into a field, especially like international dispute resolution?
I think so. I think if I had a mentor, I would probably it would probably be much easier and much better. And right now, if I'm going to sit, and I think it's a very, like, we have arbitral women trying to do that, and I think, you know, your organization is trying to do that as well. Many organizations now, because I think in everything in life, if you have a mentor, it's good. It's a good thing because you get to learn from this person, from the experience, and you can also contribute to something good to your mentor, bringing something fresh, because some of these mentors are older and set in their own ways. Maybe there are some new techniques, new things they have not looked into, and by exchanging, I see mentorship as an exchange. Having those conversations, you may see it may become very beneficial to both parties, and I would definitely encourage that if for young people to find a mentor. I will mentor somebody, and I have already done so in Ghana in many different settings. So I think mentorship is very important. It's very important because we are marking the new generation because I remember, like, in the state of Florida, we have a system where once you go out on your own, automatically back then they would pair you with a lawyer with more experience. And I remember one of the cases I had, also a very difficult case, and I pick up the phone and I call whoever was team with me, and then because she had experience in it, it becomes such a great case. I don't think I would have been able to handle it alone if I didn't have her advice. So I think sometimes that's what we need, even with regards to practicing arbitration. If we have mentorship, like if a young person get a big case that falls on his or her lap and don't even know how to navigate, let's say it's construction arbitration or some other form of arbitration, they don't have experience. If the mentor has experience, could be a very good way to mentor through a real example by going through the process and do the case together. And I think that's beneficial because I have I've benefited from those kind of setting as well.
Okay. Well, let's shift once again, if we may. What are you reading right now? What kind of books are you reading, non-law related?
I'm glad you asked me that. I'm reading the Bible. You know, it's funny, Chris, because and people will be like, wow, you read a verse. I literally take a whole, book by book. I have to go back and start reading from Genesis in the beginning.
Right, literally in the beginning, right, okay.
So I started, I'm like, okay, let me see if I will succeed on that one and if I will finish it because it's such a big book. I guess it's gonna help me, I guess, with my spiritual life and also help my friend or maybe empower me to answer some of the questions that he asks me sometimes. So.
Okay. Well, that's good. How about this? What music are you listening to? Do you have any favorite artists?
Yes, I listen. There is this song that I love. I'm Not a Victim, Christine DeMarco. I don't know.
Okay.
And I listen to it over and over and over. And the reason I love that song is just like, oftentimes in our experience, we carry ourselves as if we are a victim. So if we don't think of anything as being a victim, you are always a winner. So what did you learn from that experience? We all cry, we all get hurt, but if you turn it around and you say, I am not a victim, you know, I was a participant, whatever it was, I was a participant. Maybe I didn't get the right hand of the cards, maybe I lost, but maintain, you're not a victim. So I love that song. So I listen to it. And also there's this other one I love by Lauren Daigle, which says, you say, so they're all gospel, by the way, they are contemporary Hillsong. So I listen to that a lot. So,
okay.
And from time to time, especially when I go to the gym, you know, I bring, when I'm doing my stretch, I listen to a lot of jazz or different classical things for the setting. But in the morning to get me going, to get me pop up, I listen to gospel.
Okay. So we listen to some music, you going to take us to church.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on that same thought process a little bit, in our field, we are all extremely busy. We have a lot of demands, professionally in terms of the work that we have to do, but also side projects. You mentioned going to the gym. How do you maintain that mental and physical balance to take care of your mental and physical health?
You know, lately, Chris, it's been very difficult because my mother is suffering from dementia. So I travel a lot to the United States, like almost every 6 weeks sometimes. I'm back in the U.S. because what happens is you just like with dementia, I don't know when she's going to totally forget me, and I don't want her to forget me. I constantly go back and talk to her. So far, so good. She always remembers me. And it's been very difficult. And I also have a daughter. My daughter is old enough now. She's in at the university. So that kind of like gives me a little bit of more time for myself. But she comes home, like right now she's home in Paris. And she's leaving by the end of the month to go back to school. The balance for me has, because she, when I started to practice, actually got pregnant when I was in law school. So she's always been with me, and the way I have balanced things is to also talk to her, knowing that what she can expect of me, and we work together as a team. In the family. When I was married, it was always an open book, and we sit down and say, okay, this is where we are. This is what needs to be done. And together we work it. Now that since I've been divorced, it's me and her, things are a little bit different. But the way I balance is to always say to her, look, for the next few weeks, Mom will be in Africa, and I know you are in the States. Let's see if we can all meet in Atlanta on this, you know, and kind of like keep the relationship going, because with anything, if you don't nurture it, it will be harder. So I do that. And I also pray when I get very frustrated and not knowing the answer. I just pray. I'm a believer. I can't hide that. So that's how I cope with different surprises, I would say, sickness or things that come that I didn't expect. So that's my way. There was no big formula for me.
Sure. What are you looking forward to the most throughout the rest of 2019?
Oh, you know... Next week, vacation time.
Hey, okay. All right. Vacation, where are you going on vacation?
I'm going to Tunisia. Well, the reason I say this is just like, you know, Chris, I travel a lot. And when I'm traveling, when I go to Atlanta, I don't see it as a vacation. Some people may think, oh, yeah, you go to Atlanta. I see it like I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to get up. I'm going to take her to the doctor. I'm going to do this. I am in a different duty, a different zone. It's not vacation. So next week, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just going to be sitting somewhere by some beach in Tunisia and do nothing and just enjoy the sun, have my food prepared for me, go to the discotheque a little bit. I got a little bit of everything. I'm just going to have fun. So I'm really looking forward to that vacation time.
Okay, that's fair. Fair enough. That'll be a lot of fun. Make sure to post a ton of pictures and have a good time. Okay, so we're winding down here, Rose. I have a couple more questions for you. The first one is, and we touched on it some already, if you were approached by a current student or graduate or someone looking to break into the field, what advice would you give them for how to prepare them? Or in particular, in light of the answers you gave earlier as to, you know, what if someone is unable to find a mentor and they kind of got to, you know, dig through the, make their own way themselves? You know, what are some thoughts that you have there on how to do that?
Wow, that's perfect. That's been my life, Chris. I would tell them, be bold. First, you need to believe in yourself. You need to have a vision. Once you have the vision, you know you can do it and you believe. You don't take no for an answer. You have to get yourself prepared. For instance, if you have to do a course for a semester or go, you have to pack your bags and just go. Go where the opportunities are at, where you can do some training in arbitration. Go to conferences. I know it's very hard for young people to break into the business because if you have to go to China or to Tokyo, some of the places where I've been, hey, you got to pay the plane tickets and you have to find your accommodation. And what I did back then, I have a friend of mine. She was going through the same process. So we teamed together. So I would say, hey, there's this conference. Do you want to go? And she goes, yeah, I'd love to go, but it's expensive. I said, well, it's expensive, but if we split the hotel cost, you know, it will come cheaper. She'd be like, yeah. So we'll get together, and then we would room, we'll be at the conference, and then we would roommate together. This way it brings down the cost because a lot of these things you're not going to find anybody to sponsor you or pay for your, you know, accommodation. So I would say that's number one. They need to go and be bold and do these things. And the other thing is to volunteer and then see if you can write or publish something. And when you go to these conferences, you know, be ready and introduce yourself in the networking sessions and also try to volunteer to people, say, hey, if you have a case, maybe I could be secretary of your tribunal. I could do, you have to be proactive. Paris was not built in one day. You have to have a plan, and you have to believe you can do it and execute it and go after it. Sitting in one position, whether in the United States or in Europe or in Africa, is not going to bring the business to your doorsteps. You may have to pack and go. I would say this, you know, foreign languages, if you can speak one or learn one, and just don't, because we are living in a global world, globalization, and it's no longer okay to just speak one language. I mean, it's okay, you can get by with one language, but if you can, if you have an opportunity to learn something new, you should try. And also, especially in those cultural settings, whenever you start, you're trying, people seem to be more accepting. You know, you show up at a place where it's a bunch of French people, you don't even try to say, oh, bonjour, comment ça va? You know, even though all the friends, they want to speak English, but it's very good when you show them you are also interested in their culture. So I would say, you know, if you don't have any mentor, you don't have anything, don't give up. That's not the way to do it. Have a vision. Believe you can do it. Go after it. Execute it. Go to the sessions. Let's say you can also do courses with the SIAB. You can do many different things. Volunteer for the moot court competition. Get yourself out there. I say just do it. Because today, if I'm here in Paris, it was because I didn't take no for an answer. I didn't just sit there and say, okay, it's over. You're a criminal defense lawyer. There's no way. I packed and I did it, and I came. I came not just alone, but with a kid. So anybody who has a vision can do it. It's not easy, but you can do it.
Wow. No, that was straight fire, Rose. That was a really great answer, and I think give some very practical and tangible tips for those listening out there that are looking to break into the field or increase their position herein. So thank you for that answer. I think that was really, really great. Okay, so we talked about a lot of serious topics, a lot of informative things about you, about the field, about things that you've got coming up. What I want to know, Rose, is that if it's 5 o'clock on a Friday and you have met all your clients' needs, you're not on call for anything, you don't have any outstanding things coming up over the weekend, how would you spend your ideal weekend?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends where I'm at. Am I in Ghana? Am I in Paris? Am I in Atlanta? Or am I in Haiti?
You magically have the ability to be anywhere you want, instantly.
If I am in Haiti, definitely I would want to be by some beautiful blue beach, you know, just eating some homard which is like the red lobster and all that, and just enjoying. If I'm in Ghana, of course, I'll probably get to together with some of my friends. We like to do that and just chilling. If I'm in Paris, I like to go to the theater. I've seen over and over and over in all the languages you can think of this Phantom of the Opera play. I love it. I whenever it's around, I just go and see it. And last time I missed Carmen, which is this Spanish type in theater and opera. So in Vienna, I do the same, go to the theater. So it depends where I'm at. Musical theater is something that I really love. I enjoy it. And I also go to a lot of concerts when I find the time. So if it's Friday, here in Paris, I will see if there is anything playing. So.
Okay. Now, that's a great answer. That sounds like a fun weekend, and really took me there with your description of the beach or at the musical theater. So that sounds like a fun weekend. Okay. Well, before we wrap up, Rose, do you have any shout outs, anything else you want to say to the folks out here in podcast land?
Wow. Shout out to my daughter. I don't know if she's ever going to be listening. I would have to give her the link or something like that. And I wish she could listen to this, and also my dad.
Okay.
And all my passes in Ghana.
Ah, that's right. Okay. Now that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Rose, really appreciate you taking the time. We'll definitely look forward to having you on the show again sometime. Perhaps when we can get to be together in person, we'd love to do that. And thank you for the time today.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate you considering me for this opportunity, for me to tell a different side of my story, where I'm from, because oftentimes people meet me, they're like, oh, my God, we can't really put you anywhere. Well, now they will know. Rose Rameau is Haitian American, and that's very important to me because it's my identity. That's who I am. I am also African because, you know, Haitians were from Africa. So, but it's very important that, as you know in your practice, you don't find a lot of Haitian people in this kind of practice. Maybe a few. So I'm really thankful for the opportunity to come on your show, and hopefully I look forward to be back again when you have another opportunity. But I think it was very nice of you, and I'm very thankful. I thank you very much.
Well, really appreciate that, Rose, and it was a pleasure to tell your story, and we look forward to having you again. So without further ado, there's no disputing it. You're listening to Tales of the Tribunal. We'll see you next time.
So that was my interview with Rose. As you can hear, Rose is just a wealth of information and knowledge. So much information was able to be given in such a short amount of time, even over the phone and putting up with me sometimes talking at the same time as her. But it was a great interview, and I hope that you enjoyed it and got as much out of it as I did. So as we head into next week's episode, we interview another person, and perhaps they might have something to do with the announcement we made at the beginning of the show. That is the only hint that you will get. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. So that is it for this week's episode. I'm actually on location right now reporting the season finale. So I mentioned that I'm in the United States. I've not said where. So there could be any number of people that I'm interviewing right now. So you'll have to tune in to figure out who that is. In all seriousness, thank you again for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments for the show, please send us a note at talesofthetribunal@gmail.com and follow us on the new LinkedIn page, Tales of the Tribunal. I will be trying to push more and more content through that venue as opposed to my personal page. Without further ado, there's no disputing it. You're listening to Tales of the Tribunal.